So we might now turn to the chapter of God's Word from which we read in John chapter number 13. The Gospel according to John chapter number 13. And we may consider, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, friends, we see immediately that the person who is speaking here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is that same Jesus who had showed forth a very conspicuous example of humility and love, as we see earlier on in this same chapter, when we have the account given to us of his taking a basin and pouring in water into the basin and washing the feet of his disciples. And this was a very remarkable action on the part of the Christ, the part of Jesus. And we can detect that from the words of Simon Peter, his astonishment at the actions of the Savior. He is Peter's master. He is Peter's Lord. And yet here he is. He is washing the feet not only of Peter, but of the other disciples. This is a very remarkable action that Jesus did. And it was a manifestation, we believe, of his love to his disciples. Isn't it amazing that the Savior, whose own feet were to be pierced very fearfully at the cross, who was to suffer that agony, that he should so tenderly care for his own disciples, that he should wash their feet. Well, how gracious the Savior is. How humble, how full of love the Savior was and is, of course, to his own disciples. Now we see that this commandment that he gives to his own disciples, he terms a new commandment. I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus gives this commandment even in the same night in which he was betrayed, as it would appear, shortly after the first Lord's Supper. And it is a time then, a very remarkable time, a very solemn time. And what is ahead of the Savior is very, very deep waters are in front of him. And yet we see the care that he has for his disciples, and furthermore, the care that he has as to their relationship between one another. And this is very wonderful, that the Savior should have such an interest in these things at such a time as this. We see it is a time of trouble. Verse 1 of chapter 14, he says there, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And it is the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me," that gives this commandment. It is, friends, the same Jesus who was to be crucified and who was to rise again, yea, ascend up into heaven. It is that Jesus that gives this, he gives this commandment, a new commandment I give unto you. You love one another. Well, we see how deeply John the Apostle, for his part, imbibed the teaching of Jesus. Do we not, when we turn to 1 John and chapter 4, as John is led by the Holy Spirit, but also, of course, he is one who has heard from his Master and heard from his Lord this new commandment, how deeply he imbibes this teaching, how careful John was to keep this commandment, when he writes in the following terms in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And you can see then how John has laid to heart this new commandment, how John's life and ministry there, as the apostle who was spared longest, as we would understand it, how he laid to heart this commandment of Jesus. Well, we take up this subject here today of a new commandment from the head of the church. And a new commandment from the head of the church. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And the 4 points that we would wish to consider, as the Lord might help us, are as follows. Firstly, those to whom this commandment was given, and so far as we are concerned, is given. If we be the disciples of Jesus, it was given to them. Those to whom it is given. Secondly, the one by whom it is given. A new commandment I give unto you. I give it. And see the emphasis there. I give it unto you. Then thirdly, the commandment itself, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And finally, in the fourth place, the witness when it is fulfilled. The witness when it is fulfilled, verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." If ye have love. You see, it needs to be put into practice. It needs to be fulfilled. If ye have love one to another, then all men shall know that ye are my disciples. Well, those to whom it is given, the one by whom it is given, the commandment itself and the witness when it is fulfilled. Those to whom it is given, firstly then, well, we can see it is given to Christ's disciples. And when we consider the Gospels, of course, Jesus has much to say to the scribes. He speaks to the Pharisees, to the lawyers. He spoke, did he not, to the generality of the people. For example, when he asked Simon Peter to thrust out his ship a little from the land in order that he might teach the people who were assembled upon the seashore. But here we have something that is most specific. It is given to particular people. "A new commandment I give unto you." And therefore, when this commandment comes to the disciples of Jesus, well, the disciples of Jesus must consider it. They must give heed to it. It is to them that it is given. Now, you see, of course, we have the Ten Commandments. We have the moral law. We have the law of Moses, as we call it. And that is to all men. We are all to abide by that. We are all to give heed to the Ten Commandments, are we not? We're to have no other gods before the Lord. We're not to bow down to graven images. We are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We are not to steal. We are not to commit adultery. And so on. And so there are these commandments to all men. These commandments that condemn the ungodly in their conscience and in their life. These commandments that take to do with them. Although they come not to the worship of God, they do not frame their life as they ought to by these commandments, yet there is the moral law speaking to all men, very solemn. And, of course, for the Christian, he or she is not to say, well, I have nothing to do with that law. Now I'm in Christ, I am not under the law. Certainly not as that which will justify us, but certainly we are under the law as that which is a rule of life and conduct. And that is something that we need to consider, the children here to consider within the church. To honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Whatever children, your school friends may say to you about being disobedient to your parents, you are to remember the law of God. You are to remember the commandment to honor your father, to honor your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The first commandment with promise. And so we all have to do with that law of God. We all have to do with the commandments that we call the Ten Commandments. But here we read of a new commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples. And so this is not given to the world. This is not given to the world that lies in the wicked one. This is not given to the ungodly. This is something. This is a commandment that Jesus gives to his people. Gives to his people. He gives to his people, we might add, here in time. In this world. And we make a distinction. Because you see, when we, if we be the Lord's people, when we come to glory, shall we need this commandment? Heaven is a world of love. Shall we need our duties to be set before us in these terms? In the kingdom of heaven. A new commandment I give unto you. He gives it to his own dear disciples as they were in that world in which he was at that time. As they were beset around by temptation. As they were exposed to sin. As, friends, they had sin within them. He gives this commandment to them. He gives it to them. And he knows who they are, what they are. And he gives it. And that is something that we need to lay to heart. To saints on earth, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. We would think that perhaps it is not necessary that Jesus should give this commandment. We would think it was clear. We would think it was so plain. We would think it was beyond question that those who have sat at the Lord's table for the first time there as they did, that they should receive this commandment. Wouldn't it be clear to them that they should love one another? Wouldn't they be only too ready to do so? Why does Jesus give a commandment? Why does he enforce it? Why does he repeat it over and over again? Because it is needful. It is needful. In his holy wisdom, he sees it is so. And it is his express will that this commandment be fulfilled by his disciples. Those to whom it is given, it is given to those who, as we can see from this chapter, what does Jesus say about them? Look at verse 13 and remember what we said earlier about the washing of the disciples' feet. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Ye know ye what I have done to you. Ye call me Master and Lord. And ye say well, for so I am. You call me Master. You call me Lord. And therefore you, in so saying, take the place of my disciples, my followers, those who are called by my name, those who are special to me, those who are dear to me. You call me Master, you call me Lord, and you're not wrong, for so I am. But do you know your privilege? And do you know, as we come to see in verse 34 and 35, your responsibility? You call me Master. I don't make you call me Master. You call me Master. You do it willingly. You do it lovingly. Peter, you do it with great delight. You make a profession, do you not, as Peter did so pointedly and so expressly there unto the glory of God in chapter 16 of Matthew verse 16. Thou art the Christ, says Simon Peter, the Son of the living God. You call me Master, you call me Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Ah, friends, are you here today and you call him Master, you call him Lord? What a privilege, what a blessing to be in that position. Marvelous. As the Lord dealt graciously with you, as the Lord opened your heart to receive his love and mercy in the gospel, you call me Master, you call me Lord, and he says, ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, he says, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Amazing. Isn't it wonderful? It is. He moves so beautifully from that. They're calling him Master and Lord. His conduct by way of example to their responsibility to each other. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Well then, a new commandment I give unto you. You see, this is to the disciples. It is to the young believer here today. It is to the aged saint. It is to all who by grace call him Master and Lord. And if that is you and if that is me, then not only do we have the Ten Commandments, not only are we, of course, in terms of that second table of the law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but specific commandment as Christians. We have a specific commandment as the disciples of Jesus who call him Master and Lord, that you love one another. That you love one another. This is my will, and Jesus is saying, as it were, I cannot express it too plainly and too clearly. You love one another. To the aged saint, to the young believer, yes, it is that which speaks to us as disciples. Well, secondly, the one by whom it is given. Of course, there is that relationship, a new commandment I give unto you. It is a commandment that proceeds from Christ. It is a commandment that proceeds from Jesus. The one who has so recently given to them the bread, has given to them the wine. Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Stew, as often as you drink it, rather my body broken for you. Cup, New Testament, my blood. He is to be betrayed, he is to suffer, he is to die, and yet he has his eye upon his disciples. A new commandment I give unto you. And, well, what shall we say of this? It is a commandment, and he terms it such. It is not simply advice, we would say with reverence. It is not just that which, if it be fulfilled, would be, of course, very good and profitable, but it is that which has the name of a commandment. A commandment. And that is a word that speaks of authority, that speaks of some obligation. And when we think about commandments and when we think about laws, we think about a lawgiver. And if we think about an illustration, well, there are various laws, are there not? There are local community laws, there are state laws, and then for more serious matters perhaps, there are federal laws. And, of course, according to the gradation of these things, we think, well, this is a very great law. This is a very great commandment. Well, we cannot have a higher authority. And the disciple who calls Jesus Master, who calls Jesus Lord, cannot have a higher lawgiver, a higher authority who is speaking to him or her. A new commandment I give unto you. I who am your Master, I who am your Lord. And of course, as we noted earlier in regard to that confession of Peter, I who am the Christ, I who am the Son of the living God. This is a great commandment because it proceeds from one vested with great authority, vested with great dignity, vested with great standing. And therefore, it is a commandment that cannot just be ignored. It cannot just be set aside. It is a great commandment because it proceeds from Christ. It is an expression of his will. It is a requirement, a new commandment. I give unto you. I give unto you as the head of my church, as I have authority to give this commandment to my disciples. Who is it that gives this commandment? It is the one who is spoken of there in Matthew chapter 1, given that wondrous name. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. And when Jesus is born and when he is visited there by the wise men, they come for to worship him. And when they come in, they bring their treasures. They fall down firstly. They worshiped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Well, here is this one, the one who is prophet, the one who is priest, the one who is king. And, of course, that is a position that we take as a branch of Christ's church, very much so. Christ is the king and head of the church. There's no earthly head. There is no pope. No, it is Christ who is the king. He is the head of the church, and he gives a new commandment. I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. Friends, it is the one of whom we read there in Hebrews and in the first chapter in such exalted language there who speaks, is he not? Hebrews chapter 1, we read there the wonderful truth that is set before us in chapter 1, verse 8. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. This king is God as well as man. Tremendous power, tremendous authority. The scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. Righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, verse 9, and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil, with the oil of gladness, above thy fellows. Above thy fellows. Well, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Here speaks the Prince of Peace, wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This wonderful Christ, friends, this one who is transfigured, as we read there in Matthew's Gospel, And chapter 17, what majesty, what authority Jesus transfigured before them. This is something that has happened, of course, prior to what the events we're looking at and the words we're looking at in the past. Mount of Transfiguration has preceded this new commandment being given, and so Peter and James and John might remember, might they not, when Jesus gives this commandment, might they not remember how that he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And, there it is, you see. Hear ye him. Of course, we were not present in the Mount of Transfiguration, but we read of these things, we can think about these things, we can meditate upon these things here today. And it's that same Jesus that God gave witness to. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And surely the disciple will, at the very least, desire to hear him, long to hear him, wish to hear him. Did you not come to this place here today longing that you would hear from Christ, that you would have a word for your soul, pleading that the Lord would speak through the gospel ministry to you? And what does Jesus say? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, a little point that we need to observe, of course, is that the person who gives this commandment, the Savior was very well aware of the infirmities of his disciples. He doesn't give this commandment, speaking with reverence, friends, as one who is ignorant of their hearts, of their persons. Look how quickly Simon Peter needs to be rebuked by this same Jesus. Look how quickly Simon Peter gives way to infirmity. He says to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answers him, verse 36, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. There's Peter. He's bold, he's strong, he's full of confidence in himself. He's full of confidence in that very real love that he feels to Christ. He has not forgotten the very real astonishment at the actions of Jesus in washing his feet. And what did he say there? Might not, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. How bold he is. How ready to speak. And Jesus needs to take to do with Peter very seriously there, verse 38. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake, Peter? Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. There it is then, infirmity, poverty, the need. And yet Jesus says that you love one another. It's not that Jesus does not know, friends, that the disciples that are his own are of varied temperaments. They come from various backgrounds. They are gathered in together, not as men of the world are, on account of their particular political viewpoint, and therefore they gather with such like-minded people, or because of some particular aptitude or ability they might have in a certain sphere of labor, and therefore they gather in among themselves, and they've got so much in common. But here's the wonder of the Christian church. Here's the wonder of the Church of Christ, What unites us is Christ. What unites us is the Savior. And we are very different people. Very different. Young and old. People from different cultures. Different backgrounds. And you see, presumably Matthew is here, for example, Matthew the publican, Peter the fisherman, John, although he was a fisherman, like Peter, seems to be of a very different character. Andrew, though he is the brother of Peter, is quite different. And does Jesus not know that? Of course the Savior knew that. And he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Well, it is the all-wise Savior. It is the King, it is the head of the church who gives this commandment. Let us look thirdly at the commandment itself. This is the will of Christ. This is the will of the Savior. And the disciple, for his part or her part here today, will surely wish to hear what his will is, as expressed in Holy Scripture. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Now, we mentioned earlier, didn't we, that prior to this, Jesus has said as much, didn't he, in verse 14. "You call me Master and Lord," verse 13, "and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." So there it is again, put in a different way. Now, here in verse 34, a commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You see the doubling. You see the doubling. This is so important. This is so important. We dare not overlook this. It would have been sufficient, one might think, indeed. We might think, but Jesus had another mind, that he would say it once, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." The words are not difficult. It doesn't need to be spelled out. But he says it again, for emphasis, "as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Yes, and friends, it's not just doubled, but if we take verse 35, where it is implied so strongly, it is tripled. Three times. Not once, not twice, but three times. In the course of two short verses, the Savior makes it abundantly clear what his will is for his people. That ye love one another, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. You see how closely there it is tied to discipleship. Cannot be severed from discipleship. If ye have love one to another. There it is. Matthew Henry writes, he not only commands it as amiable and pleasant, not only counsels it as excellent and profitable, but commands it and makes it one of the fundamental laws of his kingdom. One of the fundamental laws of his kingdom. You call me Master, you call me Lord, I give you a commandment. And remember who he's speaking to in the first instance here, the apostles. We would think his commandment here will be to work miracles, to win souls into his kingdom, to preach mightily his gospel. But he says that you love one another. You love one another. How wonderful this is, how astonishing this is, and yet how needful. How needful. Yes, and friends, notice how we read also in chapter 15 of John's Gospel. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. What has he commanded them? That ye love one another, as I also have loved you, that ye love one another. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And look at this, verse 17, or even reading from verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye may shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Here it is again. The same command to the disciples of Christ. The world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. And so he is the true vine, his Father the husbandman. And what is demanded of the disciples there in chapter 15, I should say, is that they would bear much fruit. This is what they must do. They must bear fruit. This is what they are to do. This is what I ordain. That's, as it were, a command. That you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And so we see it's not just an isolated command, but it is something that seems to be enforced, is it not, by Jesus? Again and again and again. And it is something then that the disciple must lay to heart, and of course that whilst we are in the flesh, whilst we are in this world, we need grace to obey this commandment. We need strength. We need help. We need the Holy Spirit. Yes. But it is that which is set before us. That ye love one another. And so this commandment proceeds from, to the disciples, it proceeds from Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church. It is a simple commandment, but as we can see from the repeated nature of the references, as we did see earlier from the imbibing of it so clearly by John the Apostle, it is a commandment that must be obeyed by the disciple of Jesus. And, of course, friends, we are those who are ready, just as with any other commandment, to find many reasons why we shouldn't obey it. And many points of excuse why it ought not to be. But the commandment stands, and it stands very clearly. Writes Matthew Henry, this commandment still appears new to many professors. Men in general notice any of Christ's words rather than these. Are we not taught elsewhere by Jesus, and we're very familiar, perhaps even more familiar, generally speaking, with what he teaches in the Sermon on the Mount with regard to the obligation to love one's enemies. We're to love our enemies. This is radical teaching. This is astonishing. This to the mind of the Jews who heard him speak, this was quite remarkable. Had they not been brought up with the law of Moses, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Had they not been brought up with that teaching? And here is Christ. Here is Jesus. And he has such teaching as is familiar to us of course, in terms of the fact that one is to love one's enemies even. Verse 43, I should say, chapter 5 in Matthew, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And friends, we are quite familiar with this remarkable teaching to love even our enemies. And yet when it comes to this, perhaps we can be so often forgetful of the new commandment. The new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, we have then in the last place the witness that is raised when this commandment is fulfilled by the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus stresses that there in verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. This is how they shall know. Is it not when you work miracles? We might think with regard to these apostles. It is not when you work miracles that all men shall know that you're my disciples. It is not even when you speak boldly on my side. And indeed, you will remember that in Acts chapter 4, was it not so that Peter and John were known to have been with Jesus, inasmuch as they were very bold of speech and very determined to preach the gospel? Then the men had to admit that they had been with Jesus, that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. However, this is something for all disciples, not all of us who preach the gospel. It's not all of us who are called to that work, but all of the disciples are called to this work, that you love one another. You love one another. Note writes Matthew Henry, brotherly love is the badge of Christ's disciples. By this he knows them. By this they may know themselves. And by this others know them. Of course we know, we're familiar, that the apostolic church was very conspicuous for this, the love that the disciples had one toward another. Of course, Satan, for his part, he is very well aware of the text of Scripture that we have before us this morning. He is very well aware of what a beautiful witness it is when God's people dwell together in love and in fellowship. He knows how that weakens his kingdom. He knows how that is a wonderful witness to the world. He knows how that is a great encouragement to those who are seekers within the church. And therefore, he will do his utmost to divide the people of God. And one way in which he divides them, such as his malice, is to cause them to fall out of love one to the other. And he is very adept at it. And there is all too much within us that he has to work upon, of our corruption, of our faults, of our temperaments, of our failings. And of very real wrongs, very real wrongs sometimes. And that often we say, well, how can I love those that do wrong? And there ought to be repentance, there ought to be a humbling, there ought to be spirit of forgiveness, of course, and reconciliation. But at the root of it all, there must still be this, that you have love one to another. It's not qualified. That you have love to one another only so long as you get along with one another. Only so long as someone doesn't wrong you and hurt you. But there's to be that root. And so that when there is repentance, there would be an acknowledgement, there would be forgiveness, and there would be a readiness for that on account of that deep root of obedience to the will of Christ, that ye love one another, even as he says, as I have loved you. As I have loved you. Well, who can attain to that? John Calvin, in his comments on this passage, says how that Christ holds out his own example, not because we can attain it, for he is infinitely in advance of us, but that we may at any rate aim at the same mark. And, well, there are various ways in which we show love. And some of these things we are generally aware of. We ought to be kind one toward another, tender-hearted according to the Scriptures, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, that you love one another, even as he says, as I have loved you. He washed their feet. There's that humility, a deep humility. When you see the world looks on and sees the people of God washing, as it were, one another's feet, then they might be, and they should be aware then that they are the disciples of Jesus. And of course, when it is otherwise, then it is not a good witness. When it is otherwise, Jesus, for his part, as one writer puts it, he spoke kindly to them. He concerned himself heartily for them and for their welfare, instructed, counseled, and comforted them, prayed with them and for them. And so here is the high, high example of Jesus, as I have loved you. Well, ultimately, that's the sacrificial love. That's the love that extended even to his giving his life. A greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, a new commandment I give unto you, says Jesus, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And is this not what the true disciple here today wants? They want to be a witness. You want to be a witness for your Master and Lord. You want to be a witness on his side. You don't want to stumble the world or stumble the seeker, the seeking soul within the church. When you see this, what stumbles a seeking soul within the church, almost like nothing else, must surely be when the disciples do not have love one to another. Why should I seek Christ? Why should I seek Jesus? Our friends, we must face up to this commandment. It is a commandment from Jesus. And if we call him Master and Lord, then it is a commandment that comes to us. And we must reflect upon all our actions. We must ever be people who examine ourselves as to our words, as to our attitudes, as to our ways of dealing with people. Within the church, within the household of faith, is it love? Is it all proceeding from that love? that Christ demands of his people, that you love one another. We know what it is to love our families. We know what it is to love our friends. As a father, I know what it is, I hope, to love my children. Does that mean that everything that they do always pleases me? Some things that they do displease me. It doesn't take away my love for them. You see? And are we not to, as I said, to one dear friend here who said, you'll be missing your family. I said, I'm missing my family. But when I'm coming here, I'm among my family. Perhaps we don't want to be in this position, but this is what we, the position we are in. We all need to lay these things to heart. The commandment, the new commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples. And this commandment has not been repudiated. It's not been taken away. We can't say here today, well, I'm not an apostle. You've sat at the Lord's table, haven't you? So are these people. You profess him to be your master and Lord. So did these disciples. And therefore we come under this obligation, this commandment, to love one another as he has loved us, that we would love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And an unusual way in which the disciples may be called to show love is by way of church discipline. And church discipline can only be successful with God's blessing insofar as it proceeds from love and is received by it. Received by it and proceeding from it. You see? Everything that we do within the Church of Christ, the position we are in, whatever we are doing, we must be guided by this great commandment. And all of us, myself included, must we not be sad how short we come, how far short we come of that which should be so desirable, so sweet to us. The heaven that we profess to be going to is a world of love. World of love. No disputes, no disagreements, no suspicions in that better country, even in heavenly. And we might say then a way to be seeking to be prepared for such a beautiful habitation, as Christ said, my Father's house, in my Father's house many mansions. In his Father's house, there is nothing but love. There is another place where there is no love. That's where we're all going to on account of our sin by nature. But when called by grace, the Lord's people are put on a new and living way. They enter in through the straight gate, upon the narrow way they proceed, and it leads to life eternal. The world of love and blessedness that is spoken of even in the final book of the Bible in Revelation, where we read of that blessed city, that blessed Jerusalem. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Former things are passed away. Well, let us be asking God for help. Let us be seeking to Christ for strength. Let us be pleading that the Spirit would so teach us to heed this precious commandment that should be so desirable to all of the disciples of Jesus, as it proceeds from him who loved them, who gave himself for them. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. A wonderful witness, and a witness that is needed so much in this dark world that is so full of hate and dispute and trouble. Oh, may we have indeed grace to obey this new commandment of Jesus, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Amen. We shall now pray. O Lord, help us to be giving heed to the words of the Savior. What a privilege if we be those who call him Master and Lord. But give us to realize that if we do so, then we come under great and pressing obligations that are not always easy to fulfill, and indeed impossible except for grace. We pray that thou wouldst have mercy upon us. Help us here and help our friends here in the this time of need. We would be given grace to conduct ourselves with wisdom within the place of worship and outside of it, as we are assembling outside of the place of worship. The world passes by and looks on. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This command extends to various situations and various places, various interactions, as to how we conduct ourselves as the disciples of Jesus. Lord, give us wisdom then. Give us due humility. Grant to remember us in our needs and circumstances. Again, we commend the minister of the congregation and his wife to thy care, and are prayerful and mindful of them. And, O God, have mercy upon us and help us in our needs, and do us good and bless thy truth as we seek to praise thee and bless thee in conclusion. And that thou wouldst bless us. And be with us the remaining service of the day if spared. We pray for light and wisdom, the Spirit's blessing upon his own word. And take away our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.